Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
Welcome in, welcome in. It is Wednesday morning, the 2nd of October. Fall is here. Does it feel like fall yet down there, Scott, where you're at? Or is it
it's getting there. It feels like October. October is gorgeous in the South, though. It's 75 degrees, partly cloudy skies, nice little breeze. It's once a hurricane came through here and soaked everything, but it's October. It's one of the things we always lamented about having a dome here. I'm like, outdoors, that fall Saturdays and Sundays are gorgeous. They're perfect. So yeah, it's pretty nice out.
Your October is our June through September. Yeah. Here in the PNW. Granted, we have a smoke season now with everything, but that wasn't so bad this year. Luckily, hopefully getting back out there before the end of the year. We have a phenomenon out here, Scott, called the, we don't have the fall colors like you get in the East Coast, the massive like broadleaf trees, mm-hmm. but we have a very special tree called the larch, which is the only deciduous conifer on the planet.
Those are some big words for me. There was like seven syllables in there. You got to dumb it down for this public school kid.
Deciduous is like a tree that drops its leaves or whatever it does has chlorophyll. And it's a conifer is a pine tree of sorts. So it's a pine tree that turns this crazy gold color for about 10 days and then drops its leaves. It looks like it's out of Dr. Seuss and they're in like really high alpine rugged areas and people go absolutely nuts to go see these larches. So I'm hoping to get out there in a weather window because it's getting kind of late. They're starting to be snow dropping at higher elevations out here and go out there and see some of the larches, but it is a sight to behold. So I'm excited for that. Fall is here for sure. And it's football season. The Broncos are 2-2. Who'd have thought, Scott? Not me for sure. After that 0-2 start, even though the defense was showing good signs that Denver would go on an East Coast road trip and come back 2-2, especially after the cluster that seemed like was going on with the weather out there in West Virginia and the preparation, the Jets having an extra 3 days to prepare. Denver comes out on top, beating the Jets, beating down Tampa. And now it's a whole new ball game and Denver has life.
It is. The 2-2, I think, is spectacular going out on the road. I mean, when you're going through the schedule, you're like, okay, at Tampa, good team, road, loss. At New York, improved team, back-to-back weeks on the road, loss. So like 0-2 there, 2-0 there, you know? So I think that's kind of where a lot of folks may have had the team pegged to begin with. The optimistic folks, you know, I said 1-3 probably after the first four. Optimistic folks, but you kind of switched them around. You know, you think, okay, we win the home games and then lose, but to drop the home games and then turn around and come back and win the road games, that's a tougher task, you know, to take the wind out of your sails coming out of training camp and fall camp and go out there and restart it on the road. Good for them. Good for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah. I mean, shows the resolve of the team. I think it says a lot to the character, the coaching staff as well, keeping those guys focused and dialed in. And it would have been easy, I think, you know, the Vic Fangio-led teams, while I respect Vic Fangio's defensive mind, there was not the internal buy-in, everybody marching together. It felt adversarial sometimes between coaches and players, offense and defense, and not the case in this one. That shows a good togetherness there. Now, maybe, you know, if the offense doesn't start to pick it up a little bit, you start to get a little bit of tension there with how the defense is playing and setting them up opportunity-wise. Even the special teams been playing pretty good overall, but haven't gotten the explosives from Mims in the return game so much, but still, Broncos come out 2-2 and they keep their head afloat. And that's pretty much all you could ask for, I think, from the early on. Unfortunately, the schedule looks tougher on the back end, but you're sitting there 2-2. You have another, and you always talk about it, Scott. I love this thought process where you kind of divide the season up into quarters, right? You chunk by chunk. We got to go this here, and that's also kind of what we're doing today. It's the first quarter of the year. We're getting our grades. I'm a tough grader. Typically, I grade on a curve. I'm not everybody gets an A kind of person. A C is average, and that's what that means to me. I will grade a little bit based on, you know, expectation a little bit, but I'm not going to be everything is awesome all the time. I'm a harsh grader. I don't know if you know this, Scott. I'm a violinist by trade. Mm-hmm. I played for a long time. I started when I was 3 years old, and I taught violin through high school and college.
I didn't know that part. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't have much of a choice as far as playing. My mom was an orchestra teacher, so came out of the womb, and here's a violin. But I taught for a while, and I was tough, but I felt like I was tough but fair on the kids, and I think that's just kind of how I'd rather be with everything. Understanding, but real.
I always liked the Remember the Titans thing where he's like, who are you yelling at? He's like, I might be a mean cuss, but I'm a mean cuss to everybody out there. I love that part. Black, white, it doesn't matter. So, but Troy coming in yellow, coming in with the super chat. He says, what do you make of the Pitts to Denver chatter? The only place I've heard Pitts to Denver chatter is in this chat room. So if there's somebody out there saying it, it's not coming out of Atlanta.
I think Ben Albright maybe tweeted something, but he could just be speculating, you know, connecting dots there. We'll see. It's still early. The only person who is like for sure going to be on the move here is Devonta Adams, but we still have another.
I wouldn't even say for sure for him either. I'd still bet. If you had to ask me right now where he ends up, I'd still say he stays home. That's how I say with everybody, though.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of times, but he's going to be, I think we'll talk about the game. I'm assuming he's going to be inactive this week. I mean, you have their head coach liking tweets about how he's quitting on the team. I mean, it is ugly. I'm not acting very CEO like, acting a little bit
it's
more
very
like
Raiders ish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting now. Not Raiders-ish, Scott. I don't know. We talked about this before. Raiders, second best team in the NFL in terms of penalty yardage so far this season. Denver, one of the worst.
Let's talk a little bit more about Troy's question, though.
Pitts to Denver.
We just did a whole lot of discussion on Kyle Pitts on the Falcons podcast, but there's on the front page of FalconsSI.com, there's a story that I helped edit and publish. The Atlanta Falcons have a Kyle Pitts problem. And the problem is they put a bunch into him, a number 4 overall in a draft that got you Pat Surtain at number 9. Mm-hmm. You know, Penei Sewell, Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith was in that. Jalen Waddle. Smith may have been the year before. But just Micah Parsons. Rashawn this was Slater. A draft.
Yeah, the top 12.
And you took Kyle Pitts number 4. He comes out of the gate with the second rookie ever to have 1,000 yards with Matt Ryan. And he has been a Jag since then. And we're talking 3 years now with different quarterbacks like, oh, it was Marcus Mariota. I'll just say that was one guy, Marcus Ritter, Desmond Mariota. It was Arthur Smith. Well, now it's Kirk Cousins, and they don't know how to use him. And it's like, well, how do you use him? At what point do you say that he's just not getting it done? You can't give up on the guy, though, Troy. If you wanted – If someone says we're going to send a third for Kyle Pitts, I still wouldn't take it, Nick. I still wouldn't take that just because it's so tantalizing. He's 23 years old. He turns 24 in a couple days. This is fourth year in the league. He's still 23 years old. He's uber talented. The production's not there. Go look at I did a side by side with OJ Howard on Relative Athletic Score, RAS.football. And O.J. Howard was actually had a higher score because he's a little bit heavier. That was the main difference. So
better about agilities. Even. It was the agilities too.
Yeah, they were pretty close. Yes, 6'8", 5", 3-cone for O.J. For O.J. Good God,
yeah,
he was a 500 yards guy. 500 yards, 5 touchdowns. That's where he topped out. He never really broke it loose at Alabama, but you see this talent. My God, first round pick, Tampa Bay. It never clicked for him at any level. Kyle Pitts had a monster 2020 at Florida, had a historic rookie season, was off to a crappy start with bad quarterback play his second year, and then got hurt. And he hasn't been that guy, and now going on 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, for Denver, like it just, we'll see it. Let's say it continues this way. Denver is 5-3. Pitts is still struggling, but you're sitting there at 5-3. Would you do something like Baron Browning and four for Kyle Pitts and a seven? I mean, something like that where you get an edge rusher. I mean, that's, it's hard to give up on that talent, but you get, it feels also it's hard for Denver to give up on that talent. It's different, but like Browning is very tantalizing too. And right now, I mean, do they need him? I don't know.
Browning, you can't stay healthy.
Yeah, but for 1 year, I mean, you wouldn't even give it a shot.
Is Baron Browning is Baron Browning going to be a Denver Bronco in 2025?
Unless he takes a 1 year kind of prove it deal, probably not. But it's more because of who stepped up in the end. Like if Denver didn't
have the point though, Cooper, there's always competition out there.
Yeah,
I don't want to have to use resources on Baron Browning right now. That's a whole different discussion than Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, not always dependable, Scott. But you know who is dependable? Manscaped.
Absolutely. And, you know, want to tell this to everybody. So listen up. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience it? Nick, I went 5 months between my last haircut. Now I don't have to wait at all.
Yeah, introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your very home. Whether you're after that daily silky smooth finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, I don't know, this is maybe an 8 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every single time. Head over to manscaped.com and join the 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using our code HUDDLE for 20% off and free shipping.
Yeah, get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, and thanks, y'all, for supporting those who support us.
Yeah, we killed that one, Scott. We're professionals in here, guys, and that one wasn't Scott didn't have to, you know, shrink in the chair as he was reading it. Jasmine coming in here, $9.99. Great to see you, Jasmine, over on both chats supporting us. Always love seeing Jasmine. Says, are you guys going to the Denver-Atlanta game? I'm happy the Broncos are 2-2. Thank God for the defense. Let's beat the Raiders. I will not be going to any other Bronco games this year. I am on baby duty until, you know, Christmas time, Scott.
And we're gonna big do duty.
Clean. Yeah. It has been. He's had a GI thing for 2 weeks. Luckily, it's better now. But, man, I've done so much disgusting laundry the last month. But anyway, that's beside the point. We're going to do the crazy thing, Scott. We're actually going to rent a big vehicle and drive from Seattle back to Iowa. I still have 3 weeks of parental leave left, thanks to the state of Washington, for the parental leave that we have guaranteed. So we're going to drive across 28-hour drive in winter. Washington, Montana, South Dakota, Nebraska, over to Iowa. So I need to save my time, money, everything like that for heading back home for Christmas and the little guy's first birthday back home in East Iowa.
I hadn't planned to. I can't remember the last Falcons game I went to. It's been ages of my last three NFL games have been Broncos, Broncos, and Broncos. I hadn't planned to, but Jasmine, I got out on Frontier, my flight home. I went out on Delta for the meet and greet, and I got home on Frontier. When I looked down, it said my fee, my actual airfare was $11. Wow. And taxes and fees ran it to $50. So I got round trip out there for $130 for the meet and greet. If I can do that again, I might just go out to Denver to have dinner, for God's sake. So we'll see. We'll see on that. But I hadn't planned to.
Yeah, that would be I wish it'd be good. Maybe in the future heading out there. It's we'll see. 4 years from now, it'll be Atlanta again. Need to get out to Atlanta. So hopefully it's a October or November game out there. Michael comes in here supporting the show as always, says, good morning, Nick and Scott and Broncos for breakfast. Go Bo Broncos. Thank you so much, Michael. We always appreciate you coming in. I see Jeremy Sean's in the house too. He says the most important grade is 2-2 after four games. Absolutely. Hey, keeping afloat, baby. Gatorade Gaming says, morning, guys. What's good, Nick and Scott? We're hanging out. We're having fun. I feel like I have the start of a stuffy nose coming on, so I'm not excited about that. But, you know, it's that time of year, and the little guy's in the petri dish that is daycare. Jason, morning, everyone. It's Raiders week. Denver Broncos for life. So many positives will come with a W this week. End the streak. Three-game winning streak. Above 500. Huge game. 8 losses in a row to the Raiders. And this has been a, it makes sense against the Chiefs. The Raiders have been absolute dog dookie. What does that make us? Dog dookie after a dog's eaten dog dookie. I mean, I don't even know. They've been, it's unbelievable. Unacceptable. It's not fair to say it's a must win game. Division rival. You're both sitting there at 2-2. You better freaking win this game. The toxicity that's going on with the Raiders too. They have injuries. Max Crosby's dinged up. He sounds like he's going to play. Devontae Adams is out. They can't run the freaking football. Denver cannot lose this game. Denver cannot lose this game. If they're a serious team this year, they cannot lose this game.
Unless they, you know,
the defense has to play perfect with what
they've it'll be a hell of a gut reaction if they don't, win it. That's for sure. It's, but Victor's Gaming comes in. He says, "Hey, Nick and Scott. Hey, Victor Gaming." Right back at you. He said, "I believe Bo should play better this week, especially since this Raiders defense is not as good as the defenses we've played so far." Yeah, and I think that's a relative discussion. When we start talking about how did he play, that's totally subjective. Totally subjective. Completely influenced by bias. So I will say, without a doubt, factually speaking, his production should be greatly improved this week.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Denver can lean on what we saw the end of last week, which was a run game that was both efficient and explosive. Now, a run game, the bar for explosiveness in run game is not as high. It's only a 10-yard plus run. So we had a few 10-yard runs last week, and it felt like the interior offensive line and Javonte Williams started to get something going. And Denver so far this season has been one of the worst teams in terms of third and longs because of the run stuffs that they faced. But this is not a good Raiders defense in terms of stopping the run. They're the worst in the NFL by far at rushing the football. But stopping the run, they've not been fantastic either. I do like their, they have a really good middle linebacker, and Butler on the interior defensive line for them has been pretty good. But I digress. Hopefully Denver can make it easier for Knicks and create a lot of third and shorts going forward in this game. Because that's something that, you know, fair or not fair, it's the NFL, right? It's not about fair. It's about doing the job and getting it done with the circumstances you have. But
we've been quoting reviews all morning, Nick.
Yeah.
Fair's got nothing to do with it. No, it wasn't fair. Deserve. Sorry, I screwed it up.
That's okay. It works.
Deserve's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah. But hopefully Denver can run the football and just make it easier and control the game. That's something we talked about entering the season. I'm like, with how much they paid the offensive line and the questions you have on the weapons, they and the rookie quarterback here, you better damn well be able to run the football efficiently. They don't have to be top 10, but they need to be out of the bottom 10. And they showed life against the Jets in a very tough Jets defense that knew that Denver was going to run the football too. The fact that they, I mean, you're facing one of the highest stacked box rates in the NFL right now. And that's not just Bo Nix. That's weapons that don't scare anybody right now in the perimeter. It's all connected. But the fact that you're able to run the ball, there's life there. I have optimism for that, and hopefully that makes things easier for Knicks, because right now I don't think, I mean, the play calling has not been super aggressive other than the Tampa game. Part of that's weather, part of that is just the results we've seen from Knicks.
Call even what they did against Tampa super aggressive. You can call it just normal. It's been uber conservative throwing the ball downfield at all. Based on what you've seen before, that makes you feel like it's aggressive.
I do think actually the data would suggest that the Broncos are, the air yards per attempt is higher than you think. It's just the efficiency has been dreadful. Like, they're not completing passes beyond 10 yards down the field outside of that Tampa game. Again, part of that's not all Bo Nix. Part of that's the weapons. Part of that is the fact that you're in third and long. Part of that's you played good defensive personnel. But this is a game where you should be able to play defense. This is not going to be the worst defense you play in the first quarter or first half of the season. That is probably going to be Carolina. But this is probably the second worst defense on paper, that you will face this year. Again, they had Max Crosby. It sounds like he's going to play. Is he going to play 100% of the snaps dealing with an injury? I don't know. But we want to see life from the Denver's offense in this one. And the Raiders are not a very good team. I mean, I do like some of their pieces, but this is still a team that should probably pick in the top 10 this upcoming draft.
Yeah, this is one of the first times, you know, that the Broncos, if you go to the matchup predictor and stuff, the Broncos are favored, and they're favored to win. This is probably the first time this year, I would think. So one out of five on this one. And depending on how this one goes, it will shift how things go down the line, but I think the Broncos were only favored in two games preseason. This is one of them. And the weather, it's almost going to be like doing a hyperset or something lifting. It's like, oh, that was too heavy. Wow, this now feels really light when I take some weight off of it. That playing in some decent conditions, because the weather should be awesome in Denver, and playing against a lesser defense, against team turmoil, going back to, as Victor said, you know, play better, he will have much more production. Now, does that mean you're airing it out more and you're being a little bit more aggressive and you're putting the ball in harm's way a little bit more often? That goes into play better versus not play better, which is subjective, but I think you break 200 yards passing this week.
Yeah, I'm really hoping. I've been calling for it for weeks. Bo Nix, I wouldn't say, is a weapon as a runner. Somebody last night comparing, you know, I think it was Cody W. Comparing Bo Nix's rookie year to Lamar Jackson rookie year. I'm like, that's different, right? Like, that's a different kind of comparison. But I think you can at least, like, get in five designed runs a game where you're like, I mean, we saw it in the Tampa game too. I know that you don't want to put your quarterback in harm's way, but this is a young strapping lad. This isn't, you know, 38-year-old Peyton Manning. Bo Nix can be an effective plus as an athlete in the run design.
Slide.
Yeah,
and not taking hits. If he reads it right, he can get 5 to 6 to 7 yards or more before contact.
Yep. Yeah. So I think that's just something I wish they would implement more. I'm surprised we haven't, considering how much Sean Payton loved to utilize Taysom Hill in the run designs, because he kind of has a little bit of guy who can do both. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm not ready. While Bo Nix, the output from the offense has been poor the first four games, and even if you want to flush that New York Jets game down the toilet, it's still been poor relative. Like, we cannot look at week four and it's still one of the bottom five quarterback plays in football through 5 weeks. Not on all Bo Nix. He plays in a system, right? A lot of the weapons around him are questionable. But this is a game where hopefully you start to see a little bit more, and it looks more like that Tampa Bay game as opposed to weeks 1, 2, or 3.
Troy coming back in, doubling up with the brace here. He says, did anyone see Sternad coming? How much of that is credit to Vance Joseph? Is Jim Leonard responsible for Moss and the other defensive backs? Vance Joseph, after an early break-in period, did a pretty good job last year with what he had to work with. There have been upgrades on the defensive line. I think upgrading the defensive line has been the biggest difference for this team. And we said the bar was set so low, it was going to get better, but how much better? That it enabled TJ Jones, who his first year in Denver was really, really good, and then dreadful his second year. And then Zach Allen, who started a little bit slow, but finished really well last year. It's enabled them to play more of natural positions, and you're seeing the benefits from that. And you're stopping the run a little bit more often, which helps on the back end. And then you are playing a very, very, we're going to talk about aggressive, Nick. You're playing aggressively on defense, and it's working. Yeah. It's fun. I like that. God, I hate them, but don't break. Vic Fangio drives me nuts. He really does.
Yeah. It's not working for the Eagles right now, but they can't stop the run to save their life. It's kind of killing them. As far as Jim Leonard, I can't speak to the inner workings or responsibilities of the defensive backs. You'd have to be in the room to kind of know the responsibilities there. I will be curious if Vance Joseph gets poached. You would see Jim Leonard get the tapped on the shoulder, being like, okay, you're up now. Keep somebody in house, especially with how good it's looking right now. Also, I mean, I know that everybody's like, oh, look how good the defense is. We're going to lose Vance Joseph. Who'd have thought that at starting the year? Like, everybody's ready to fire Vance Joseph immediately. But I mean, a failed head coach on the defensive side of the ball, it takes a long time sometimes for those guys to get second chances. I know that Morris just got one.
Compensation on that?
You get two third round picks.
Okay.
Comp picks.
Great job. Thank you. Good luck.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think it's a guarantee because of how people want to tie their head coach with the offensive play caller for the stability there. And then with the quarterback, I mean, one of the best defensive
wing keeps killing it out in Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think of like a guy like Spagnuolo, who's been unbelievable. I mean, he's honestly, they should polish him an extra ring because what he's done out there, keeping them alive while the Chiefs have been mediocre offensively the last couple of years, he hasn't gotten a call and he's been awesome. So I don't think it's a guarantee that Vance Joseph is going to get poached immediately this offseason now that since he's been a failed head coach once. People want the offensive mind. But that said, did anyone see Sternad coming? No. I thought that I was really concerned about the linebacker play coming into this one. I mean, Denver would tell you they were concerned too. They signed two guys off the street. You have Sean Payton before the season saying that they want to add more linebacker help. They bring in Christian Welch. I mean, this is a team that has not loved that room. And now granted, it was a slop fest out there. How translatable is that going to be into a different game? We'll see. But to see Strnad go out there and make some plays, safety at Wake Forest, now playing linebacker, good special teams player. It's good to see. It's really good to see. And it speaks to just the coaching, the collectiveness, the intelligence, the preparation of these guys, because the sum of the parts are playing so much better than the individual talents on this Broncos defense.
Yeah. Now sustain it, they'll do it again. We've been quoting movies all morning. Might as well keep it going. One of my favorite lines from, what was the Thunder movie with the race car movie with Tom Cruise? He says, "Oh, you got lucky coming out of Tom 4, Days of Thunder. You got lucky coming out of Turn 4." And his response was, "If you think it's luck, let's do it again." That's just the ultimate in arrogant confidence. Okay, he had a good game. Let's do it again. Let's see it again and let's sustain it before, we're ready to say, okay, it's fixed. Strnad is not the guy we've seen the previous 3 years. He's the guy we saw last week. Okay, let's do it again. Let's do it again. Very good. Keith coming in, and I'm gonna take this one just for a second, Nick. Part of our conversation yesterday, you've said it's not Bo Nix probably six times in the last 10 minutes, Nick. It's not all Bo Nix.
I just don't want to become off as an obvious hater.
I know, and you're gun shy for the Bo Nix hung the moon crowd. Speaking of struggles in the passing game, true, but where is your level of concern after four games and a 67-yard game? My level of concern, Nick, is not for Bo Nix in that game. And part of the reason is, it's nice to have a comparison over there. Bo Nix was 12 for 25 for 60 yards, yes. But, Aaron Rodgers threw the ball 42 times, and he had 225 yards and struggled too. The conditions definitely played a part. Now, Aaron Rodgers has games this year that are significantly better than anything Bo Nix has. So, when I look at Bo Nix, it's intellectually dishonest to say that he has not struggled this year. He has. He has struggled this year. It's also perfectly acceptable to say, I expect a rookie quarterback to struggle. That's okay. He's handling it about as well as I would expect him to. That's fine. And it's naive to think that he will automatically become a franchise quarterback and emerge from his struggles to become a top 10 quarterback in the league. That doesn't always happen. He's where he should be right now. That's where my level of concern is. It's not. He's still going to have to take those steps of growth to become the guy you want him to be. He's not there yet, and that's okay.
Yeah. And there was this study done. I need to find this out there. Where it was like the first 4 to 6 starts and the outputs from those quarterbacks have any predictive power for what that quarterback is the rest of their career. So we're going to wait. We do need to get to the grades here. Scott, we got Coach Chris coming in here saying good morning. Next week will be huge for us. The experts never had us at 2-2 at this point. Next week will show if we can build on the momentum or die. Besides, I hate the Raiders and beating them is long overdue. I think Scott and I both had the Broncos 2-2 the first quarter of the season, but we are not experts.
I would have had 1-3.
I think maybe I picked them to beat.
I had them 0-2. I had them splitting. I was like, I'm going to pick them to lose every single game because you're underdogs in every single one of those games. But I think on the quarter, you're 1-3 coming out of it. So they're a game ahead of my where I was.
So 2-2 is good. You have your head above water, and now you have another two games. You need to go at least 2-2 again. But we'll see. Desert Creature says, I always enjoy Broncos for breakfast, and I always enjoy the Broncos. Good to see a Desert Creature. As far as grades go, we're going to go back to front, Scott, and I'm going to lump together the most improved position group on the Broncos' defensive line, but the best position group on the Broncos is the secondary. The reason that they are able to do what they are doing as far as the pressure goes is, A, they have a lot of good gap penetrators up front, and the secondary is not only covering well in the back end, but they are tackling their butts off right now. There's just – I'm not as worried about the getting burnt deep kind of stuff going on. Now, it's possible for sure if the pass rush doesn't get home, but it's kind of we're seeing it with Brian Flores as well. When you're blitzing so much, you're keeping things in front of you because the quarterback has to get rid of the ball quickly. They're looking for their hots. And with that, while you're not getting burnt deeply, you are leaving your cornerbacks and islands to tackle in the open field. And Denver has done that so well. They're doing a good job disguising coverages too. The safeties are playing great. We've talked about Moss a lot as well. So, I mean, and Surtain right now, Scott, I want to give a shout out to Nate Tice. He does great stuff over at, oh gosh, I think he's at the Ringer now. Former son of Mike Tice. I think he's one of the best up and coming football analysts out there overall. But he said right now, if he cast his preseason vote for defensive player of the year, being Fred Warner, and Fred Warner is playing unbelievable football. I mean, he should be number one right now, I think. But he said the next guy who's the only one, other one in conversation, is Patrick Surtain. And Albert Breer giving Patrick Surtain flowers yesterday too, saying he's the straw that stirs the drink, something we've said all off season, like two off seasons now. Surtain's been amazing. This group gets an A, maybe even an A plus from me. The only thing I don't give them an A plus for is they haven't seen like turnover after turnover, but they're great. I'm so excited.
They're letting Vance be really aggressive with his front seven. And the it's Deion Sanders-esque of, y'all have heard me tell this story before, and it might be urban legend, but I believe it. One of his first meetings with the Dallas Cowboys, they're going through install and defense, and Deion says, "Hey, wait. He walks up to the whiteboard and circles the number one receiver and says, "I got this guy," and then goes and sits down. All right, well, I can knock him out now. Now I'm playing 10-on-9 football. You know, the quarterback isn't, you know, if he's not a running threat, now I've got an extra guy and I can do all kinds of stuff to be aggressive. And I was looking it up. Nick, you've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guys with tackles for loss that have multiple tackles for loss, have at least 2 tackles for loss, 8 of them. PJ Locke's in there. You got multiple linebackers. You can just be so much more aggressive when you're playing as well as you are on the back end of things.
Yeah, they've been awesome. Riley Moss has been the biggest pleasant surprise of the season. I feel like he's playing so well that we're kind of overshadowing how good that Jaquan McMillan has been. Brandon Jones has been awesome. PJ Locke, a very good, useful piece as well. They're getting amazing ROI on all of those guys. I mean, those are 3 rookie contract guys, and you took a massive pay cut to go from Simmons to Jones. So I've been just so impressed with the secondary. They're the best unit on the team. Surtain is arguably the best player in football right now, regardless of position up there. That's what Albert Breer talked about this last game. Not the most valuable, not the most impactful, because he's not a quarterback. He's not a wide receiver. He's not a pass rusher. But he's been awesome. They get an A. And I see J.R. Capron. I can tell he's a Mr. Positive over here with his comments. But I like I said to start the show, I'm a very tough grader. It is hard to get an A, and I'm thinking even A plus on that one. So they've been awesome. Again, only critique is the turnovers, but Denver's offense has been so anemic that teams aren't having to play from behind to push the football, to be aggressive. So it's like part of it is this positive feedback loop. If Denver had a lead, it'd be easier to get those turnovers. So they've been great. They get an A.
The we can move up front. The linebackers for me have been fine. You know, B minus are doing their jobs. Great. Exactly what I was gonna say. Up front, if we want to just combine front seven, the pressure that the Denver Broncos are getting on teams is, it's truly statistically improbable. Yeah. Where are the Denver Broncos now in sacks? Is it 19 or something outrageous?
It's got to be a lot.
Let me see how many, because I remember last year it was like 24. So this year, so far in sacks, if I go to team and I look at sacks, complete leaders, Denver Broncos are second in the NFL with 16 sacks. Minnesota has 17. That's it. Second in the NFL. 2023 regular season, I have to go way down here with the anemic pass rush of the Atlanta Falcons, who you were tied with, that had 42 sacks. So it was a lot better. I forgot Atlanta got better. Mm-hmm. 42 sacks in the whole season. I mean, you're doubling that pace. Now, can you keep up 16? Are you going to finish with 64 sacks, 65 sacks?
Yeah.
But it's fun now. It is. And you'll kill last year's. And again, part of that is because of how much trust you put on the back end of your defense.
And I'm with you on the linebacker group. I'm going to give them a B- as well. I mean, we kind of seen what Denver did the first 3 weeks is they did everything they could to only have one linebacker on the field. Now, I'm very impressed with what they did the last game. I mean, the goal line stand where both Welch and Chernod and all those guys making plays. So, I mean, keep it up. We'll see. It's a position, though, that I'm a little weary of on the defense. But, I mean, B minus, I'm a tough grader, like I said. They're above expectation for me.
Cody Barton was okay, and Alex Singleton was missing too many tackles before he got hurt. He led the NFL and missed tackles. So you can't go too much higher than that.
Yeah. So I was going to say C plus B minus for the linebackers, maybe a B, somewhere in that range. They're doing good. I'm going to lump the defensive line together totally. So edge rushers and the interior, I got to give them a solid A as well, Scott. I mean, who amongst that group has not been standing out? I mean, Browning before he got hurt had some flashes. Cooper's playing his way to a big contract, Scott. Zach Allen, despite what PFF says, is on his way to definitely a Pro Bowl season, but like forget Pro Bowl. Like we might be talking first, second team all pro if he keeps this up. And then also you have Benito, who has been one of the best speed rushers in football. Malcolm Roach, the pennies on the dollar signing. He's been awesome in a role. DJ Jones is playing better as well. So I'm hoping that it gets a little bit better from them going forward. But I don't know what Ramon said, but bye, Ramon. Good on you, Scott. But overall, the defensive line, I think they get an A as well. And that includes the edge rushers.
Yeah, I put the five in there, the front five, however you want to do, or four in a stand-up, however you want to do it. DJ Jones is back to 2022 DJ Jones. He's good. He's really good because the fall-off was just weird. And I think part of it was being asked to move a little bit too far inside, head up, where he's taking on double teams. That's not his game. You want him splitting gaps, not taking on double teams the whole time. Zach Allen was one of the guys we pushed for in the offseason. And, God, he has looked – I mean, previous offseason, like, what about this guy, Nick, for free agents? Been really, really good. Let me see here. There's a comment where maybe it was over on this side, but it's just, when the offense catches up with the defense, this team can be really good. I think that's going to take a cycle. I don't expect the offense to be playing at a top five level this year. I just think the personnel isn't quite there. That's okay. This is a rebuilding year and you're ahead of schedule as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. The one thing that makes me nervous and that's a little bit of a disappointment is that defense is so volatile year to year. And I know it's a young team, but injuries happen, personnel changes, scheme changes, answers change. To expect that the defense is this good, next year they're going to be top five again and the offense will be that much better. That's not how it works.
I do like the system that's in there. You're not dependent on TJ Watt's having an unbelievable year for these. This is coming from everywhere right now.
But you are dependent on Surtain. It's different. It's how it's built there, how the dependence is built. So
that's true. Yeah, he is the key. He's the key for sure. But again, I'm so impressed with the amount of pressure that this team is able to generate from multiple areas, because that's scheme. That is 100% scheme. When you start getting, okay, you got 10 guys with two sacks. Okay. That's scheme, brother.
Yeah. So A, B minus A on that side. Defense has been a top five defense so far. They've been awesome. The only reason they're not like number one in EPA per play is because they've been high in defensive pass interference and defensive holdings, but that's kind of part of the scheme as well. When you're playing man coverage, you're going to have some penalties.
Want to add on to this? Let's go ahead and just say Vance Joseph's been an A+ for the coordination of the whole thing has been, again, when the unit is better than the individual parts, when the sum is better, there's a multiplier effect in there.
Yep.
And right now, Vance Joseph's been a multiplier for this defense.
And he's a madman. Everybody loves Brian Flores and like the cover zero looks that the Vikings have. They were the number one team in the NFL in rushing 8, but also the number one team in the NFL last season rushing 3. So it was like everybody drop or everybody come with the guys lined up. A lot of fun. Well, through 4 weeks, the Broncos are number one in the NFL in cover zero. So sending, was that 6, 7 guys, whatever it is? Probably 7, actually, I think about it. But then you have man across the board. They are 10% of the time, Scott, calling cover zero. They're number 3 in the NFL in cover 1. So this is an aggressive blitzing. They're far and away blitzing the most. Maybe they're not as crazy with how they're getting into coverages as what the Vikings are doing with Flores, but they are getting the job done. And the Vikings, number one defense in the NFL through the first 4 weeks. Broncos, number three in EPA per play. So we'll see if it continues. Now continuing on the Broncos offensive side of the ball, I'm going to come out here. This is going to be the only F that I give Scott, the tight end position, straight up F. Nothing for them. You're not getting diddly squat. Troutman is a D player. Kroll, for what he is, I guess, is a D, D minus. Maybe Troutman a D plus because he can actually do some inline stuff. You're getting diddly from Dulcich right now. The unit gets an F.
Yeah, it's nice to see them spread the ball out a little bit more. When they came out against the Steelers and they're trying to go against the Steelers in a phone booth, like, you got everybody lined up between the hashes. You can't do that. The only way this team has a chance is to spread them out. And to do that, you're going to take tight ends off the field. And why not? So, yeah. That sounds fair. I mean, how are you going to argue? No, so-and-so's been awesome. No. You've gotten almost nothing from your tight end position this year.
Yeah, it's been bad. Luckily, this is a good tight end draft coming up. Tight ends typically are available in free agency for mediocre contracts, like competent tight ends typically. So we'll see. Troutman's been the only one who's like at least been useful. I guess Kroll has been useful. Or not Kroll. Atkins have been useful as well. Moving on to the wide receivers, I'm going to give them a D+. Out there, I think, you know, he had some positives from Reynolds. He's still probably better as a 3 or 4. Sutton is playing like a number 2 right now. I mean, the fact that he had 60 of the Broncos 60 yards in this last game, I mean, good on him. Happy got a touchdown as well. I'm gonna give them a D+ for the wide receivers.
Yeah, I was C on that. Again, it's disappointing that it's like, well, Marvin Mims still hasn't showed up. Well, what were we expecting? Again, I go back to preseason. Nobody played their first teamers more than the Denver Broncos in the preseason, and Marvin Mims was MIA. At this point, you can't count on Marvin Mims. Like, oh, we need to get Marvin Mims out there. There's a reason why he's not out there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not great. It's definitely a position that the Broncos are desperate for right now outside of Sutton. Jasmine comes in with a super sticker. Thank you so much, Jasmine. I don't know, Scott. I feel like the D+. Probably about where I go with them, because you need more.
I go, I start thinking of draft and free agency and that type of stuff. And if I've got picks 1, 2, and 3, I want wide receiver, I want running back, I want center. Those are like, those are like my first three picks. And I'm like, I can get premium guys in the first round at wide receiver, you know, assuming they're available, and a premium pick in the second round. A second round running back is a premium pick.
Yeah,
a second or third round running back is a premium pick. A second or third round center is a premium pick. So I can have three premium picks without spending any money into the fold next year.
One positive for Denver there is you're not paying the quarterback hardly anything because the rookie contract, right? So you can actually probably go out there and get yourself a center.
You'll have money next year. We know that. Yep, I'm just saying straight draft. Running backs are plug and play. You know, I have to develop him. No. I got to play him. They're ready, if they're good, they'll be ready to play at 20 years old.
Yeah.
A little bit tougher at center, but wide receivers can plug and play too. If you hit on your wide receivers, younger wide receivers are contributing earlier than ever.
Yeah. Perry West comes in and says F tight ends have been abysmal. Yeah. They've been bad. I see Jason wants to call about the Ingram. I'd be right now. The team that I'm interested in calling is the Browns because how bad their offensive line and quarterback play has been. I feel like your ROI compared to cost on David Njoku or Amari Cooper would be pretty good. But I don't know what happens there. And we'll see what happens. We got a long time before the draft. It looks like an incredible running back draft class, Scott. I know everybody's going to want the kid from Boise because unbelievable highlights, but like it goes 12 deep. I think we might have a good run on first round running backs this year, just because there's not a lot of first round talent in the class as it looks right now, especially on offensive line. I think this looks like a pretty crappy offensive line draft class. Sadly, everybody's going to be screaming for tackle. I can't make them appear out of thin air.
I don't watch nearly as much college football as you do, but I have been watching Auburn again this year. Jarquez Hunter has some Tyler Allgeier in him. Okay. It's like, there's nothing that makes you go, okay, wow. Except the fact that he doesn't get tackled.
Stays up. Yeah.
He's like,
speaking of which, did you see
the play? He's not all that big. He's not all that fast. and he breaks three tackles a run.
Yeah. Did you see the broken tackle that Kenneth Walker had this week against Alex Anz? What the absolute hell?
The spin move flip over?
Yeah, ice. Unbelievable. Keeping it moving here. So we got a F, D minus for the tight ends, a D plus for the wide receivers from me. Running backs, I'm going to give them a C minus just because there has been some life from them. I'm between D plus and C minus.
How was it D?
Okay. I think that it's been hard for them because they face so many stacked boxes.
I know, but some life is damning with faint praise.
Yeah, it's not been good. I'm still going to stick with the C minus just because I'm optimistic that we saw enough from Javonte Williams. And I waxed poetic last night on Building the Broncos about Javonte Williams pass blocking in there. And I've just been so impressed with that. Again, if you guys have time, go back and watch the highlights of the Tampa Bay game. And everybody follows the ball, you know, Bo Nix throwing a deep. This is great. Watch the running back. Those plays don't happen without Javonte Williams anchoring himself in the pass protection part of the plan. So,
you know, the phrase I use about, oh, you can't measure someone's heart. I'm like, that's true. But you can tell if someone's got one. Watch what they do when they don't have the ball. The guy with the ticker, the guy with the ticker is the one in there sacrificing his body when he's in there blocking.
Yeah. Yeah. No block, no rock, as they like to say. They say that a lot at Iowa, unfortunately. Yeah. Arizona does have a wide receiver, McMillan. He is going to be interesting. I don't know about the cent. I don't think there have been many good centers that I've evaluated yet. It's not a good offensive line class, Scott, especially at tackle.
We say that every year until we get to the Senior Bowl. I'm like, okay, I'll take that guy, and that guy.
I felt like I liked last year's tackle class a lot. I was screaming for tackle.
But I mean, interior lines. Yeah. Those guys don't show up until later, and then they come from Montana State.
Yeah. We'll see. Obviously, things can change from here. But moving forward, offensive line, Scott, I'm going to give them a straight C, C plus so far. It's not the ROI that you've wanted, but I think overall they've done pretty good. I've been impressed with Palshetsky. They're filling in for McGlinchey. They struggled the first 2 weeks communication-wise. There were so many free rushers. TJ Watt got his. That's a good defensive front. They've been a lot better the last 2 weeks, and they're starting to come together run blocking wise, I think as well. So I'm going to give them a CC plus.
And part of it for me on the entire offense is I want to give them an incomplete.
you got to go off what we have.
One of the reasons I wanted to throw Vance Joseph in there as an A plus is because I think the offensive coordinator gets a C minus at best is D. Like, you're not really giving your offensive line and your quarterback a chance to be overly productive when all you're doing is running it into a stack box and throwing the ball sideways. It's tough to grade.
Yeah.
It is tough to grade. So when your offensive line is looking a lot at stack boxes, it's tough to give a grade. I don't feel like the center and guards are being pushed into the backfield constantly anymore like it was 2 years ago. I mean, Broncos country got sick of me using the word bullied like I did in 21 and 22 constantly. That doesn't happen anymore. So, you know, yes, C plus, B minus. It's really incomplete. When I go back into when I put on my general manager cap on instead of my scouting cap, it makes me question again why you extend Mike McGlinchey.
Yeah, I mean, he was your best offensive lineman those first two games.
And does he play left tackle next year?
It's possible. I think what
he's getting left tackle money, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, with how much shotgun there is now. The blind side, I think, is a little bit overrated because you have a better peripheral vision, right? Your back's not to the line of scrimmage as much, so the blind side is not as much of a thing. And with how teams line up their best pass rusher against your weakest guy, you got to be competent at both tackle spots. You can't just have a road grader on the right side with a good pass protector on the left. They're just going to put their best pass rusher against your worst guy. So I think that tackle money is just tackle money at this point for the most part. But
he's got premium tackle money. I mean, he is well compensated, and you tied yourself to him for another 2 years when you could have made that. You could have gotten out from his contract this season after this season and had some flexibility there. But again, do you want to try and replace Bowles and McGlinchey in 1 year? Probably not.
Probably not.
But you haven't seen a whole hell of a lot of drop off going to the backup with McGlinchey. And that tells me as much about McGlinchey as it does about Palshetsky.
I will say I think they've helped Palshetsky a lot more, and you have not gone against TJ Watt or the free rushers in the defensive line of the Seahawks. Like I said, McGlinchey was far and away their best offensive linemen that I watched the first 2 weeks. It was Garrett Bolles and the interior.
I think Bolles is gone.
Yeah, I think Bolles, I mean, if they wanted him back, they would. If he's expensive right now and he has no money, no guaranteed money left.
We said that all offseason. If he was going to be back here in 2025, they would have already done something for him.
Yep. I am with you on that. So I'm giving the offensive line, what I say, C+, C. I think that's fair. I think it's a unit that hopefully will get better. Quinn Miners had his best game of the year. Wattenberg had his best game of the year. Powers, I think, had his best game of the year. That's against Kinlaw and Quinnen Williams. So offensive line is the only unit that, granted, they're still not getting the ROI because you're paying that unit a lot. But they're the at least competent out there. And I can't say that as far as NFL league average. They're the only positional group that has been league average overall through four games, in my opinion. Moving forward, maybe I'm a hater here. I'm going to give Bo Nix a D. Now, I'm with you, Scott. It's a D+. I'm with you. It's an incomplete. We can excuse away so many things. The sample's the sample. It's what we have to go off. He had one good game against Tampa. Maybe that's a turning point game. Maybe that's Drew Lock going up against Houston's game. I mean, we don't know right now. The sample is so small. And we can wash away all these other games, good defenses. Luckily, we have, God, how many more games left? Three quarters of the season. But so far, I'd give it a D+. The positive I will give is that, and I talked about this, I think, Monday as well, Scott, the conditions were so crap, and the offense was playing so poorly in the Jets game that for a young quarterback, it had been so easy to make the catastrophic play where you, okay, I need to force something. It's so bad right now. I'm going to get that one in there. And one big turnover there, and that's the game. Bo Nix never wavered in that. He avoided the sacks. He avoided the stupid decision and managed the game in an ugly situation, and that was enough. That was enough in that game, trusting the defense. He didn't put them in a bad situation. The only time they were in a bad situation was because of the horrific spinal injury fumble with Bidet, and that's, I mean, I don't fault anybody for that. So, this is a long way to go. I think that it's compared to expectation, Scott, like if we're grading on a curve, it's a straight C.
That's where right I now. Am because of that.
Yeah, but I'm not doing that. I'm going to grade based on the league average. I'm going to give him a D+, with a lot of caveats. It's like, you know, we're in the first quarter grade is a parent teacher conference. This is where you're at. This is why I'm not concerned. This is what I'm looking for going forward. So, it has to get better there. I'm hoping it'll get better. Denver did play on paper four good defenses. That said, two of the next four defenses they play are two of the top four in EPA per play. Those are the only two defenses that played Bryce Young this season, Scott. So that really impacts the sample. When we talk about small sample sizes, stuff like that matters. I'm going to give them a D+, and there's a lot of room for growth, and we're going to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and I go go C on him just because part of it is the game plan didn't give him much of a chance in the first few games. I mean, throwing side to side, you said me before, I felt like I was watching a tennis match. If I'm sitting behind the center watching the game, everything side to side, there's nothing downfield. And finally you open it up. But if you want to look at what it looks like compared to the rest of the league, I'm like, okay, where do I grade him? And he's 28th or 29th. Well, that's an F. Okay. But that's not how I'm looking at Bo Nix and a rookie quarterback. You know, when you're saying, oh, he had a really good game against Tampa. Well, you know what? 40 passes for 200 yards and no touchdowns. That's our bar for really good now. No, those are expectations. The expectations for a rookie quarterback is I think he's done as well as what could have been asked for him given the circumstances at this point. He's made a couple bad throws. He's made a couple good throws. The moment does not look too big for him. He looks like he's in command and he's progressing, which is what I ask of the quarterback. I haven't seen him do more than what I would have expected. And I haven't seen him be less than what I've expected. So he's a C for me. But again, if it continues like this, for the whole of the season, you're going to have concerns. Yep. You will. But again, for me, the whole season for me is kind of a wash, man. I look at the wide receiver room. I look at the running back room. I look at the rookie quarterback. It's a kind of a gimme for me. I don't know what to expect. Let's get the kid some weapons and then let's throw the ball downfield more than, you know, a couple times a game. Let's back the safeties out of there, the stack boxes, and then let's see. I don't know what he can do yet right now based on the way Sean Payton calls a game and the weapons he has at his disposal.
I do think that Sean Payton, I'd give him a C minus as far as the game calling. I think that the when your defense is playing as well as it has and how good that Tampa Bay game was called, he gets an A for that one. I give him a B for the Jets game. It's hard to call a game when the weather is like obviously impacting the quarterback and they're not even close area code on some of those throws. So the first two games, I'm with you, Scott. It's kind of a feeling out period for the roster and what's working. So I'll give them just a C minus so far. Final one here, special teams. I'm going to give them an A minus. Lutz finally missed a kick that stunk, but weird elements. And that one, first miss of the year. Dixon has been awesome. I feel like the coverage units have been awesome as well for the most part, other than the Steelers game with the penalties on the kick coverages, which were unfortunate. Really the only negative has been Mims, other than the Tampa Bay game, hasn't done much. But I think that's partly from what the other teams are doing, not trying to get the big kicks off too. So I'm going to give the special teams an A minus.
Yeah, I at least, because the other weapon on here is Michael Ronquillo closing us out saying, great show today, Nick and Scott on Broncos for Breakfast. But Riley Dixon and his coffin corner kicks have been spectacular.
He's been awesome. Sending
guys inside the five multiple times. And if I'm going to play defense,
I feel like I'm watching this team on Sundays.
I'm going to play special teams and defense. Punting is winning, baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that credit to the coverage units as well on that. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Michael, for the support. Thanks everybody for coming in today. Obviously the offense has been one of the worst three in the NFL through four games. And the defense has been one of the worst three, but
it matters a lot
who you've played, and it matters where young quarterback, you know, the feeling out process still. So, I need to find that study, Scott. I should share it. Where like somebody from PFF did a study that the first 4 to 6 games of a rookie's career almost has no predictive power on what they are the rest of the season. Right now we're in keeping our head above water, and the defense is allowing us to do that right now. Hopefully the running game can allow some of that too. A plus for the deciduous conifer reference. God bless you. Love that. I would show you a video of some of them, but I don't want to get trademarked for whatever song is on in the background. Creed got us dinged one time for playing higher. Unbelievable. We got Naj coming in too. Hey brothers, I want to say D-line and offensive line are our strengths and we'll be top 10 in the league. Is Mims a bust? Too early to say Mims is a bust, but not looking good. He's still young, but yeah, it's not good for a guy you traded up for in the second round, especially with the amount of like useful players that went round three afterwards. I mean, how good would Tucker Kraft or Darnell Washington be on this team right now, desperate for tight end talent? Tucker Kraft is who I was mocking to the Broncos that cycle. But we got to wrap it up. Scott, thank you so much, Naj, for coming in.
Yeah, Naj, I don't say bust, but again, I hate trading up. I hate giving up picks. And I'll never forget, Nick, one of the comments we had after one of our conversations, draft guys always want more picks because they think they're always going to hit. Moron, it's exactly the opposite. We want more picks because we know we're going to miss, and more throws at the target gives us a better chance of hitting. When you only take one guy instead of two guys, my chances of getting a player are cut in half. So it right now, it was a bad deal so far, Naj. I won't say he's a bust, but it was a bad deal.
Yeah, I mean, would you rather have two pulls of the crank on the slot machine or one? Right?
Brought to you by Lance. It's like, well, you have lesser odds in the third. Yeah, you do, but man, the difference in player between number 50 and number 75 is beauty is in the eye of the beholder at that point. You've got about as much chance late day two in the third round as late second round.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, appreciate everyone coming in today. Troy Boer, Jasmine, Michael Ronquillo, Victor's Gaming, Keith Brugman, of course, as well. Coach Chris, Desert Creature, Jasmine a few times. Perry West, good to see you. Michael Ronquillo a few times. And our guy, Naj. You guys are great keeping the lights on for us hanging out. Follow us on Twitter. Scott's at Scout Kennedy. I'm at Nick Kendall, MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle, as well as Facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod and Facebook.com/MileHighHuddle. If you haven't done so yet, make sure you click the thumbs up on the way out the door. If you have any of the grades, different perspective than us, hit us up on Twitter. You know, we love talking ball. I do, at least on Twitter. Appreciate all you guys. Subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. And everyone have a great rest of your day. Continue to use kindness and compassion. Scott, one final thing. Final score. Raiders score. Raiders Broncos.
Oh, yeah, we never really gave a prediction on this one. Raiders are team turmoil like usual. The streak gets busted. The streak gets busted this time. 3 field goals and a touchdown. I'm going to go 19. There might even be four field goals in this one. 19-13 Broncos.
I'm going to go 17-16 Broncos. So that's ugly but close. Ugly but close. Pick the Raiders. Uh-oh. We jinxed them. We jinxed them.
I did it just for you, Jeremy.
Appreciate everyone.
The Broncos just for you.
Have a great one. Continue to choose kindness and compassion. Go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Good morning, Broncos country.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit MedMutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.